Okay, do we have, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We want to make sure that we do not complicate things. Jesus made it as simple as he could possibly make it for us. And religion has made it just as complicated as they possibly could. And I just wish that the frustrated, confused people in this world, if they could at least hear one thing, Jesus is simple. He's not complicated. He made it simple. He talked to fishermen about catching fish. He talked to farmers about sowing seed. He talked to carpenters about building stuff. He talked to shepherds about herding sheep. He talked to people on their own level. Thank God he didn't use Queen's English. he talked to them basically. You know, talked to them one-on-one with a personal one-on-one fellowship with them, which is what God wanted all along. He wanted a one-on-one fellowship with them. And he had that for a while. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23 says, "And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Now that sounds pretty simple now, doesn't it? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's, so how do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus? You look to the cross and you find all these different things that Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection, all these different things that he did in you. You realize that when God raised him back to life, that you got justified freely by his grace. That's how you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. You realize that when you got born again, you got made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's how you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe what he did to you in your new birth. That's as simple as it can be. Just believe what he did. You can't earn it now, can you? Go down to chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." We have known and believed the love that God has to us. You know, I always tell people the cross made all the difference. After the cross, everything changed. Everything changed. It went from a system of works to a system of grace. Now, I don't know how many times I've heard in church that you need to believe. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body. And you can't believe how hard I tried. And people still do this. They try as hard as they can. They try as hard as they can to do this. And guess what happens? They fail. You know why? Because it's the law. Jesus was telling that to somebody who was trying to be justified by the works of the law. So then what happens is people will take up this idea and go about and try to implement it, and they'll go through their day, and they'll come to church, and invariably some preacher will tell them to examine their heart. So they'll get into a state of prayer, and the devil will say, if you loved God, you would have helped your neighbor. If you really loved God, you would have took food down to those poor people down the street. If you really loved God, you would have done this. Why? Because, see, that's his favorite weapon to beat up Christians with is the law. But remember, the cross made all the difference. After the cross, it tells us that we believe the love that God has for us. Now, that's different. When you start believing that God loves you, that's going to make loving everybody else easier. But if you go out and try to love the world, you're going to come home angry. Why? Because that's not what he told you to do. He did say to love your neighbor, but he said, believe the love that God has for you. That will cause you to love your neighbor. You know, I had a preacher try to talk me into keeping the law. And I said, no, I don't think that's kosher. I don't think that's what we need to be doing. My pastor finally broke it down for me. He said, you know, if you're walking in love in the New Testament, you're not going to be breaking the law. You're not going to be breaking the law. So this gospel of grace is simple. All you really have to do is believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. Believe what he did for you on the cross. That is simple. In fact, Glenn Smith said you're going to have to learn how to sit by faith before you can walk by faith. So you're going to have to learn how to just sit there and receive what Jesus already freely done for you. You can't earn none of it. You can't earn any of it. Now here's the thing about works. Works is just that. It's work and it's hard. It's heartbreaking, but some of the most frustrated people I've ever seen were Christians, because they were trying as hard as they possibly could to do what they thought they were supposed to do. And some of them were trying really hard to get to heaven. Some of them are just working hard to earn some kind of a blessing. And they're just walking around as if Jesus didn't do anything at all for them on that cross. You know, pretty soon they get frustrated, they get mad, and they give up, and they quit. I've often said this, that some of the meanest people I've ran into were in church. You know, the reason is they refuse to accept the gospel of grace. If they don't earn something, they don't deserve it for some reason. You know, I'm going to tell you something. There's people walking around asking for what they deserve. You better knock that off. You don't want what you deserve. None of us wants what we deserve. We want what God has freely given us. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus reaching out to us again here. Reaching out. And Jesus, remember, it's important to understand, to pay attention to who's talking and who they're talking to. See, Jesus here, he's doing the talking, and he's talking to people that were under the law, that were still trying to earn their righteousness by keeping the works of the law. And here's what he had to say about that. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The works of the law is hard. It's hard. But he's saying there's rest available to you. He said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." So take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Lay the law down. Get rid of the law and learn of Jesus. He said, "I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, the New Testament life is not hard. It is not hard. People like to burden people down with a bunch of stuff, and then it gets hard. But it's not hard. And as far as the straight and narrow way, you know, a lot of people like to throw that around. The straight and narrow way is through Jesus. That's the only way to the Father. That is the straight and narrow road. That's the straight and narrow way through Jesus to the Father. But Jesus was about setting people free. He was setting people away from the burden of the law. You know, one thing that Jesus talked to the people, he said, "You guys go to the ends of the earth to get one proselyte. And you bring him in and you burden him down with laws that you don't even keep." I don't know how many times I have talked to people that start witnessing to somebody. I see somebody kind of shaky and I start talking to them. They said, "No, man, I grew up in church." "I tried as hard as I could do. I tried as hard as I could to live the way the preacher told me to live. And when I found out the preacher wasn't living the way he told me to live," he said, "I'm done with it." See, Jesus was about setting people free. The law weights people down. People are really good about going all over the place and getting people born again and telling them that they're saved by grace. And then they show up at church and they say, "Now here's these 5 or 10 things that you have to do in order to get to heaven." And it's just nonsense. There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, you're in. All this other stuff that people try to weight people down with is not right. And the list is just amazing. I mean, the list of stuff that I've ran into is just absolutely amazing. I had one lady come up to me. She wanted to get baptized. She said, "You're telling me that I don't have to be baptized to get to heaven?" And I said, "That's right." She said, "I want in the water." I actually had a preacher try to tell me one time, said, "You can't possibly be a Christian if you're not a Mason." And then he threw in, "Also, you need to be a volunteer fire department guy." No, man. See, these are just nonsense things that people add on to the Word of God. And it bogs people down, and then they wonder why they give up. But we need to learn of Jesus. We need to get revelation of His grace. we're never going to get a full revelation of His grace. I learned something about His grace. It seems like every time I turn around, I see His grace. See His grace in people's lives? If you could see the grace of God in your life, you would be really, really thankful. If you just stop, sometimes you have to stop and reflect and think about your trail that you just covered and start pointing out the grace of God in different situations. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. So, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So, I've noticed there's a lot of really book smart, intelligent people that have a really hard time with the gospel. It's a challenge. But see, he uses the simple things to confound the wise. Also, look down to verses 4 and 5. Or up to verses 4 and 5. It said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. See, that's learning of Jesus. We get enriched by learning of Jesus. And go down to verse 17. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Simple, 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 simple. This old Indian, when I was first getting sober, he told me, you need to remember these letters, KISS, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. He knew me. Keep it simple. Keep the gospel simple. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. God raised Him back to life for your justification. Amen. You're forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. You're righteous by faith, and you're justified by the blood of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus alone. See, that's what Martin Luther preached, was you're righteous by faith, and you're justified by the blood of Jesus. All the other stuff that he wrote was just in support of that. And the Catholic Church called them Protestants, because we were protesting. But did you know that, I suppose maybe in the 90s, the Pope and several Protestant pastors stood up on national television and agreed on that? Did you know the protest is over?
That was
huh?
It was like during COVID, wasn't it?
No. It was a long, long time ago. It was the 90s. The Pope and some Protestant pastors got on national television and agreed that we are righteous by faith and justified by the blood of Jesus alone. But then nobody else seemed to focus on that. They just kind of kept going on the way things always were. Now look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It's interesting to me how the Corinthian church was such a wild outfit, but Paul handled them gingerly. Remember, he reminded them of who they were in Christ Jesus. You know something about the Corinthian church? There was a lot of miracles happening in that church. There was a lot of big things happening in that church. And these guys were a wild outfit. I mean, they were way out there. They're way out there. They might give the liberal churches of today a run for their money. They're pretty wild. But they believed in the grace of God. They believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. They did a whole bunch of things wrong, but they were still getting some stuff right, and Paul came in and encouraged them in their faith. But the Galatian church is a little different story. One thing he told them, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. In chapter 5, verse 1, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is the law. So it's possible a guy could get born again, get saved by grace, be in the Spirit, and get bogged down by that law. Paul was sitting there warning people about that, wasn't he? There's a reason for that, because in chapter 2, verse 14, we find out, Paul said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? So he was trying to get Gentiles to pick up the works of the law. Paul said, that's not going to do. Paul stood up to him. Go to chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. The circumcision that Jesus is looking for is the circumcision of the heart. See, when you get born, you get a circumcision of the heart. Evidently, they had an idea that if somebody got born again, they needed to go get circumcised. Paul said, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. He told them, knock it off. Verse 13 of that chapter says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. He just flat out told them, said, those guys that are telling you to keep the law, they don't keep the law themselves. You know, we got a lot of law keepers running around here. There's a bunch of them in the mountains. You probably ran into them before. There's something you need to ask them. So you're keeping the law. So I got one question for you. When you sin, the Bible says there has to be remission of blood. There has to be shedding of blood for the remission of sin. So that without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So when you sin, where do you take your sacrifice so you can have your sins covered? They can't have an answer for that. So then you say, you're not keeping the law, you're just playing a game. That's how it works. They have no place to take a sacrifice. They have no high priest to sacrifice it for them. So they're not keeping the law. They're just playing a game and causing people to stumble. You might remind them of that once in a while when you run into them. Galatians chapter 1. I think we still got time. Yeah, we got time. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now go down to verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would prevent the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. That was Paul's warning to people that were preaching something other than the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. If whatever you're hearing doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and him crucified, stop listening to it. Because it's not the gospel. If it leads to you obeying and you performing, stop. Run to the cross. Don't listen to no more of that nonsense. Run to the cross. It's got to be Jesus Christ and him crucified, or it is not the gospel. Amen? It has to lead to the cross. A bloodless message is a powerless message. It has to lead to the cross every time. It doesn't matter what subject you're talking about in your Christian life. If it doesn't lead to the cross, it's not the gospel. And you don't have any business meddling with it. Just get away from it. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus did for us in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Father, we thank you for the grace of God that takes care of us. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your peace. Father, we thank you that every day you look upon us with joy. You are very happy with us. You're pleased with us. We thank you for taking care of us and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen.